Sidewinder, Lee Morgan. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and like all conscientious Canadians, we're trying to figure out, understand who our foreign minister and the prime minister and the policies of the country. On March the 6th, there was a press conference to announce that more troops were going to be sent to Ukraine as a show of solidarity. And there's been a debate about this, whether this is actually a good idea. But it was the foreign minister, Chrystia Freeland, was there with our defense minister, and they thought it was – said they'd be doing it. And there were some questions, and one of the questions had to do – and by the way, here's one place I am unable to help you. I don't know who asked the question. But it was a reference to the fact that there were writers. People are calling them bloggers, but I mean, we have some very distinguished writers talking about Canadian foreign policy, situation in Ukraine, Poland, Russia, and the general crisis there, troubling developments. And so there is good – there's plenty of interest and plenty of discussion and most – and some of it edifying. So along the way, it was said that Chrystia Freeland's grandfather has been the editor of a paper that collaborated with the Nazis, the Ukrainian paper. And so they wanted her comment. And her comment – was that you had to be aware of Russian disinformation, and we should all be on our toes. And so I'm really glad that this subject comes up because we've heard this expression. It was introduced to us, by the way, by Hillary Clinton and Obama. They're the first ones to say false news is, you know. So we've all been told, we've been McCarthyized, be on the lookout for false news. Don't want any false news to creep up behind you, you know, and bite you. And so she said that there was some false disinformation. And that was end of the discussion. And the – bless his heart, a writer at the Ottawa Citizen, Mr. Pugliese, looked into it and said, well, in fact, this was – the line that she used was disinformation. However, he said her father, her grandfather was in fact editor of a Nazi collaborating paper. Now look, and right away the game starts to roll the other direction. This becomes spin time. Incidentally, for 5 days, the Toronto Star fell silent. They had nothing to say about any of this. They just like, And they went to the headquarters, I guess. And everybody sat on their hands and waited for leadership to give them a tip, which way we're going to go with this story. Because what do you do? And and when they did decide to say something, they said, well, what is this? We're talking about a grandfather. How is this relevant? This got nothing to do with it. She's not responsible for anything her grandfather did, and it's an old story. Well, I think that in fairness to Chrystia Freeland, we have to point out to the Star they have no business speaking in her place. And some people have referred to her uncle, who is a scholar. They said he wrote an article, and the Star referred to this, saying, so it's old news. He wrote in 1996 that indeed Mr. Chomiak, Michael Chomiak, had been an editor of a Nazi collaborating paper published in Krakow, where you would expect to find a Ukrainian newspaper, Krakow, Poland, and that and therefore they said she knew. Well, she didn't say she knew. She has yet to say she knows anything about this. And if you say her uncle wrote this article in 96, that's good for him. But that doesn't address what she says she knew. And in 2015, She said what she knew. This is 2015, is not 1996. That's some years later. She said in 1939, my grandparents fled the Ukraine and eventually came to Canada. The record shows that in 1939, and she said, by the way, at the time of the Hitler-Stalin Pact, because the Russians, she said, this is 2015, Chrystia Freeland writing. She said, my blah, blah, 2015. And she said, because of Hitler-Stalin Pact. Well, in 1939, her grandfather went to work for Hitler. He apparently didn't go to work for Stalin. Apparently, he went to work for Hitler. That was his choice, and it's not her choice. That was his choice. And so that's what happened in 1939. Now, Mr. Pugliese, Ottawa citizen, has written clearly and unequivocally that and pointed out that she has not ever acknowledged that as a fact. She's never acknowledged that he was a collaborator. And that's of interest. And as he points out, and others do, the issue is not about him. It's her awareness of the facts, which seem clear. Maybe she should just phone her uncle. But anyhow, her awareness of the facts has not come to any conclusion about it. The obvious, many of us know people I bet I have some relatives, I don't know, but if I find them, I would definitely say he was a bad guy and nothing to do with me. And I might even say I personally like him. All that's doable, that's all understandable. If you're a child, what's that got to do with you? And somebody's nice to you on the block, and then you find out later he was a Nazi collaborator, you notice that. But if you say nothing, and indeed if you say he's a good guy, and then if you say he fled when he didn't fled, actually, no, the record shows something else, as I said. In 1939, he went to work in Krakow at a paper that had, and this is for her to clarify. If she wants to debate it, that's all debated. But according to the Los Angeles Holocaust Museum, they took over the premises. The Nazis did. By the way, the Star doesn't make that clear. They say he was working for a Ukrainian paper. No, it was a Nazi paper. The Ukrainians didn't put up the money for that. As a matter of fact, nobody put up the money for it. They stole it. It was stolen from an individual whose name I will turn to here at some point, but a Jewish citizen of Poland whose printing press it was and whose offices they were. They took that over. The word they used for that was Aryanized. They Aryanized it. And Mr. Chumiak became the editor. The individual who's lost his printing press and his property also lost his life. He was taken to Belzec, where he was murdered. That's what we're told is the historical record. I'm open to hearing any other contrary details, but Ms. Freeland is being defended passionately by a whole bunch of people who are morally bankrupt, who don't care about these historical details. Again, all she has to say is he did that, and I didn't do it, and I didn't approve of it, and I'm sorry to learn that my grandfather was one of those. That she has not said, and the Toronto Star is presuming to speak for her. For all I know, she thinks Grandpa was right. That also is her right, if that's what she wants to say. By the way, the owner of the paper, Moshe Kafner, brings up another issue in my mind. The Star also decided to dip us all in mud in an article by a guy named Wells, in which he said, war is hell. Chrystia Freeland has nothing to apologize for, nothing to be ashamed of. War was hell for Moshe Kafner. They took his property. They Aryanized it, gave it over to Jew baiters, and then they killed him, Mr. Wells. That would be called hell. And Michael Chomiak got a job, got a salary, and a car. He had a living, and he stayed with it. Because when the Germans were defeated, they moved west. They packed up, and they took Mr. Chomiak with them. And he opened his paper again in Vienna, where he went on publishing. And he was celebrating, as his, you know, as his prerogative, he was supporting the Germans in their fight to have an Aryan-dominated Earth. And he stayed with them until they were defeated. That's what we know. So this is at variance with Ms. Freeland's story as of this date. To this date, she has never said any of these things. All she said was he fled in 39. That doesn't appear to be accurate. To go back to Mr. Pugliese, who is the most honorable, in my opinion, clear journalist and courageous too, problem here is disinformation and false news. All of it comes to the door of our foreign minister, and since she only serves our prime minister, it's the prime minister's responsibility, not hers. She serves only because he wants her to serve. But I think we have a little, I'd say, Ottawa, we have a problem. Until that's addressed, I don't see how can anybody give anybody a pass. And just for the record, you have to remember, Ukraine is in a crisis. There are armies around. There is violence today, and this is part of Europe. And so, when you have violence in Europe, missiles, airplanes, bombs, it's time to pay attention, close attention. And we have in Kyiv a government which they just named a street after a gentleman named Stepan Bandera. Now, again, her writings, I know that Chrystia Freeland seems to have a different view of Mr. Bandera than most of us. And here, by the way, let's introduce this magic formula which can cure all ills, according to witch doctors in New York and Washington, pro-Russia. He said, this is a question of people who are pro-Russia. I can guarantee you I wouldn't know how to be pro-Russia. I'm definitely not anti-Russia. But there's another party to this quarrel that needs to be respected, and that's Poland. Now, according to Poland, Mr. Bandera is a criminal, and this is a dangerous and offensive thing. The name of the street had been Moscow, so they thought it would be a good joke and name it after Mr. Bandera, who allied himself with the Nazis. That's really not questioned. He did. If you were to read Chrystia Freeland, she has a kind of a way of a broad stroke method of saying, well, he was both anti-Soviet, anti-Nazi. He just seemed to be always with the Nazis. Let's just put it that way. But Poland has been asking about this. And today's headline, if you missed it, I think it's Associated Press. Am I right, Phil? Associated Press says that the Polish authorities are asking Americans to turn over a gentleman who served with the Ukrainian self-defense group with an SS attachment who slaughtered villagers in Poland. And so this is as much – if you want to talk about being the foreign minister and balance and diplomacy, you better be careful. And that's why it seems dubious that we have someone who is rather passionate – on the part of and toward one group of people. The Poles actually come into this first, before Russians and before others, because it was the setting up of these papers in Krakow with someone who had the view of Poles and Russians that Mr. Chomiak had. That's why the minister, in my opinion, has to say something. Let's talk about the sites. And incidentally, Phil, you have it here. I want to make sure we mention we have a wonderful broadsheet called Frank, right? It's no longer broadsheet.
It's not a broadsheet. It's a website.
Right? Yeah, I know. Centuries ago, we had a thing called a broadsheet. Yeah. So I enjoy saying broadsheet. Yeah. But it's a website called Frank, and it tends to be Frank. And they have a quote from Mr. Chomiak's paper. By the way, Toronto Star hasn't seen – they say, well, come on. He wrote stuff, bad stuff. And okay, give us an idea, Phil, what some of the bad stuff
is. This is the November 6th, 1941 issue of Kravizsky Visti, which is the paper edited by Mr. Chomiak. It ecstatically describes how much better Kiev is without Jews. Quote, "There is not a single one left in Kiev today. While there were 350,000 Jews under the Bolsheviks," the newspaper wrote, gloating that the Jews, quote, "got their comeuppance," unquote. Well, those are the words that were edited by Christy Freeland's grandfather.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I have a point to pick with her uncle. He likes to say, oh, well, he didn't really have the final say. That's right. The Nazis had the final say. And he was on the payroll. And he was the editor. He's the editor of that paper. That's what was written. And again, that's found at the Los Angeles Memorial, Holocaust Memorial.
Holocaust Museum, yeah.
And on this thing of it, well, did she know about Grandpa? Well, I'm told she's an intellectual. I'm told that she's a scholar. I'm told she knows how to write a book. Most people do that kind of stuff. Kind of, if they have a grandfather who edited a prominent Ukrainian paper, but he never hid that fact, then you would think that she would have said, what did Grandpa write? But apparently, Mr. Himka claims he didn't know until his father-in-law, that was, by the way, the Chomiak's son-in-law, Mr. Himka. I'm sure Chomiak doesn't appreciate Mr. Himka, but his spirit doesn't. The characterization of editor or publisher, you know, go down to the Star and find out how it works. They're all pretty chummy. They don't really hate each other. They're all kind of on the same page and same paychecks and that kind of thing. So, yes, and again, many people were attacked. We were attacked. I don't know if Christy Freeland knows this, but actually we were at war with Hitler and her grandfather's friends. And we didn't actually – just because he said, oh, I killed Russians, those who are our allies, you have to look it up. You're probably a scholar. You could probably take some time out.
Well, you know that we – one of our colleagues has unearthed a copy of a front page, or I should say a picture of a front page of Kravizsky Visti celebrating the Germans' victory at Dieppe. Well, of course, the Germans' victory at Dieppe involved killing about 1,000 Canadians and taking another couple thousand prisoner, right?
Yeah.
And again, this was Christie's grandfather celebrating.
Well, and the sinking of ships with thousands of lives lost. Incidentally, that's exactly what you'd expect and blah, blah. And it's not on her, provided we hear from her. But actually, what we really have is a crisis of a silent minister and a silent prime minister. Because all they have to do is, come clean about this. I mean, make up their minds. If you want to go hard line, and I think they're tempted to do it, which is double down and say, yes, we like Mr. Bandera too. Because, you know, we've been there with, is her name Victoria Nuland, who chose the first Ukrainian government after what they call the revolution. If you want to know, all this flows back to that decision. To instead of having a negotiated peaceful resolution of the matter, which Poland, by the way, helped midwife, there was an agreement for a peaceful resolution of the conflict in Ukraine. The Star presumes to write about Ukraine like it's one thing. It's been two things ever since the Maidan exercise. It's been more than at least two, because you took away a mechanism to resolve it through elections. Instead, one side took power, and they began to cleanse the other side and to come out with diktat. It's going to be this way. That's exactly where the crisis started. And again, who was the main cause of that? That was a U.S. State Department official, Victoria Nuland, who we all remember. She said, Yats is the guy. She didn't remember how to say Yatsenyuk. She called him Yats because he was in her hip pocket. By the way, speaking of being in hip pockets, Yats recently, 6 months ago, was bodily removed from the Ukrainian parliament by a member of the parliament who walked up to him as he was frozen in place. I think his lips were moving, but I didn't hear his sound. And the member picked him up and walked out of the room with him. And Yats heroically remained silent and looked like a mannequin. We haven't seen him since. There's a rumor that he's here, by the way, that he might be living in Canada, but we're not going to press them on that. They can – whatever they do with Yats is their business. But Victoria Nuland wanted Yats to run the country, so she put him in power. She encouraged them to break law, the Ukrainian law, which was – and when you do that, you alienate people. And the star doesn't – the star would have you believe there's just one Ukraine. But it's clearly a country – always has been since its departure from the Soviet Union and even before. Always difficult place because of the composition of the demographic composition of the country. That's just a fact. And you cannot just call it Ukraine and be describing anything. That's a very unhelpful way to talk about it. And with other people who've chimed in, who I think I'm really glad they did, Mr. Paul Grode of the Canadian Ukrainian Organization immediately called it false news and disinformation to raise the matter. He didn't then go to give us his opinion of the grandfather who had been editing a Nazi paper. Because it's impolite for us to ask him to do that. And then the Ukrainian ambassador said it was a case of fake news. And he said, we know all about this, these Russian tricks, and you can come to us. I'd rather not, actually, because it wasn't fake, you see. So the Ukrainian ambassador and Mr. Grode are the ones who are speaking fake news. If they're going to say that in 1939, Mr. Chomyak fled because of the Hitler-Stalin Pact, that would not be accurate. Mr. Chomyak got a job in Krakow putting out this paper. There are other places. And again, I'll call out, please read Pugliese, the Ottawa Citizen. He makes the case very clear, and that's the only place where any of us can take our stand. Let her now tell us why she said in 2015 that her grandfather was a swell guy, freedom lover, and he fled when that's not what he did. And she has and as Pugliese says, she's been silent. So that's where the problem is. It's not with us hating Grandpa. I'm not particularly enthusiastic about these things of hunting people into their 90th year, et cetera. But I am for clarifying the record. Incidentally, in order to have peace, I mean, that's how you ended up with peace at the end of World War II. There were plenty of Nazi collaborators, and we didn't go and kill them. Some were, but most were not, because people want peace. They want to say, look, let's just end this, and here will be the law, and these will be the rules, and then everybody says, okay, then you proceed. But you can't have everything going at once. And since she has an enthusiasm or so far expressed in for this matter of the question of Bandera, who is a criminal to the Poles, the Polish government, it behooves the Canadian government to be clear about this because he's when we do speak of Grandpa, it's kind of important to remember that today in Kiev, Grandpa's friends are all being honored. Grandpa's friends have political power, political positions, and they're certainly lauded. They are. And if she would like to add Grandpa to the list, I think that's fine. Just tell us so we all know that she would like to have a plaque put up to Grandpa. I'm sure that they would be happy to do it. But that's why it's relevant, because our government has been talking about these guys like it's an exercise in Greek democracy. Hasn't been that, and instead, World War II criminals are being celebrated, and there are Do you like torch marches? They have a lot of torch marches, and they have brigades named after the old groups, and they march through the streets and say a bunch of people should be out of here, and the others get to stay. This is going, moving across Europe as a problem. So there's a couple of sites, probably the one that drives everybody the maddest. You mentioned it was Frank, right?
Frank, yes.
Frank Magazine. And then there is johnhelmer.org. They're really on Helmer's case because Helmer's one of the people who did this.
Yeah, he evidently was a colleague of hers once in the press. They were in Moscow.
They worked together.
They worked together.
My guess is that he's as good a journalist. At this point, he seems to be a slightly better journalist than she is, even though she worked for snootier people. But and another, we got to get our. We're going to be revisiting what happened in World War II because people seem to have forgotten. And I want to also point out that 1.5 million Ukrainians died fighting Hitler. 1.5 million fighting. I'm not talking about just standing on a street corner. They were in combat against Hitler. Mr. Chomak wasn't one of them. But when we talk about them, there's this tendency to think that they were all like Mr. Chomak. That is way wrong. His ideology, of which we're not told anything except that he was able to get a job with the Nazis. I wonder, I'd like to have been there for the interview, wouldn't you? My guess it was, you know, you think you can have, oh, yeah, I can do that. Anyway, but 1.5 million lost their lives fighting Hitler. He wasn't with them. He was, so in that sense, you probably by them would have been regarded as something, what's the word, traitor, I suspect. Not as a patriot. This idea you're a patriot because you say, I want Ukrainian independence. The word independence has got to be has to be fleshed out. What do you mean? Where's the capital going to be? What language are we going to speak? You know, that independence is a nice word, like freedom. Yeah, very nice word. He worked under somebody. Look up this name. Emil Gassner was his boss. And he was there's a picture of Mr. Chomiak with Emil Gassner. And I'm sure that, by the way, it's probably a revelation to our foreign minister, but she would just explain to us who's in the picture, what's going on there, help out.
Gassner was the press boss for the area of Poland where this newspaper was. He was on the staff of the SS.
Mm. Yeah. That's the way the ball bounces. She says that they're trying to destabilize Western democracies. If they're using the truth, Ms. Freeland, that truth is never an enemy of democracy. So somebody isn't better clarify this. The title of our little item here would be, and we will return to it, it's called The Long Will the Bitter Morsel Be Chewed, a Ukrainian proverb. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and we're pro-Poland. We'll see you next week.